Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Every time.
Yes.
Hey, we even had fun with it on the show. Hey, let's go on we actually did a whole show demanding that Baker doesn't win Rookie of the Year because we wanted motivation for him. Okay, that's fun. That's fun for the radio. I don't need to keep getting losses or Baker slights so that Baker feels motivated and then in turn wins games later. Like, I see there's this debate about whether losing the Baltimore game at the end of the year will provide more motivation for Baker. All right, we're starting to sound like we're in high school. But there are other quarterbacks who are also motivated, and there are other quarterbacks who use chips on their shoulder. There are other teams who feel slighted. We just heard that the New England Patriots and Tom Brady, what drives him? That people think he's too old.
So I guess it's a real emotion then.
Well, so every team is doing this. I don't think it matters. I think Baker's good because he's good. I don't think it has anything to do with someone telling him he can't do something. Guys, he was the number one overall pick.
But
he was a Heisman Trophy winner.
Okay.
Let's stop acting like he was an eighth round draft pick, even though there's only seven rounds.
You know what? You got a point there, and mostly I would agree with you. He's the one who referenced it. He referenced it. Right at Cleveland Sports Awards, right? You guys played that yesterday. So he referenced that, and we'll get to Mary Kay here in a moment. But if he's referencing it, people are going to believe that. And it's not just Baker is good. And so Baker should be able to win games because he's better. Same thing with Tom Brady. What about everybody else on the team? Is it not a motivating factor? I think it is. Motivation can be a strong thing. And so, yes, you should be motivated to be better. What motivation is supposed to do is to make you dig down deeper in a moment where somebody else wouldn't. That's supposed to be what makes up for talent. Now, whether or not that's true,
there's a
I don't know. I'm not John Brankus over here, so I can't tell you. But that's the reason
there
the motivation.
There is a reason.
So hold on. I do think in this scenario, it's not just Baker's motivation. It's the rest of the team's motivation with it.
There's a reason after big games, they only play the pregame speech of the winning team. Because the thought is, hey, this tightly woven narrative that they used the coach's speech to go out there and they were more motivated than the team. No, that's silly. Pregame speech and a halftime speech.
That's true. Those are nice stories that we like to tell each other, and those are nice things that we like to use. You're right about that. However, it's the entire point of an upset. If a team's better, but they take you lightly, or people take you lightly or disrespect you, you're supposed to overcome that. Tom Brady's the greatest ever. He doesn't need any disrespect, even though he feels disrespected. And part of the reason he puts it out there that he feels disrespected is he wants his teammates, who are not as good as he is, to feel disrespected with him, so it makes up some of that difference. There is a tactic to motivation.
All these guys can now find, in the social media age, every player can go find hate. There's hate for everybody. Guys hate LeBron James. Guys hate Steph Curry.
Guys hate
Kevin
Lyman.
Durant. Guys hate me. Nobody hates Ken until the last 2 weeks when you brought up the Bo Jackson stuff. Anybody can find a window into hate. That's what social media, that's what clickbait does. I mean, guys say Aaron Rodgers is not a great quarterback right now. Like, he can find hate too. Let's just not act like it's the hate that puts these guys over the top. They're all in a fraternity now. All these quarterbacks, they have been hated at one point. Deshaun Watson can find some hatred. Carson Wentz, Patrick Mahomes.
There you go.
They can all find it.
All right, let's put that on the shelf for a moment because I like where your head's at. Also, I got to ask a question about a football player playing basketball coming up in a bit. However, Mary Kay Cabot joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and I promised everybody this would be the first question to you, Mary Kay. Was this your thought or was this something you heard? Where did you get the idea of Kevin Zeitler being traded for Austin Corbett to play?
You know what? It really was just a thought that I had on my own after talking to John Dorsey at the Senior Bowl. And hearing him sort of rave about Austin Corbett, I tried to figure out how are they going to get Austin Corbett on the field, and I really couldn't think of any easy way to do it. Right now, J.C. Treader with James Campen coming in, James Campen loves J.C. Treader, so they're not going to put him there. The Browns love Joel Bitonio, and I probably think that he's, I would assume they think he's a better guard than Kevin Zeitler right now. So I was just trying to think of how they could get Austin Corbin on the field if they really want to do that this year. And the only thing I could come up with was to possibly consider trading a Kevin Zeitler after June 1 when the cap considerations go way down. Again, it was just a notion that I bandied about in a podcast, and then, you know, we kind of brought it up on Baskin and Phelps the other day. But, yeah, that's what that was. It was really just looking at the whole situation and trying to figure out what could possibly happen to get this young man on the field.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Is it possible to think that it is maybe just another year to try to develop him, because there could very well be no room at the end? The offensive line looks pretty decent.
It could be. It could be that. Yeah, he could have to wait a whole whole entire year to get on the field if they don't make a big move like that. So we'll just have to see how it goes.
Mary Kay Cabot joined us on the hotline. I got to be honest, I think John Dorsey's proven himself enough in what he did in Kansas City in the draft and what he already did in year one of the Browns draft. I don't think he has to get anybody on the field if this team is winning games, if this team is gelling on the offensive line. And you know what? If Corbett ends up being a bust, yeah, I'm not going to be thrilled. But if Denzel Ward ends up being as good as we think he can be, if Baker Mayfield pans out, I mean, that alone, those two guys right there is good enough for me, Mary Kay. I'm fine with it.
Well, you know what? I mean, just remember, they picked him number 33 overall, and they're excited about him. Mm-hmm. They really like him, and they really believe that he has got a very, very bright future. So, again, it's just a matter of, are they willing to have him wait another season? Or would they be willing to try to do something like I propose? And again, that did not come from anyone. It just came from me trying to think that out of any of the options I could see there, that was the only one that seemed even remotely possible.
You were at the press conference yesterday. Obviously, you had to ask a couple of questions to all these guys. You know, and at the fear of Lima digging up a corpse here, I don't think I would say it's an idea for every team in the NFL. However, with the way things are going right now, was the tank worth it from 2016 and 17 to 2018 and now what they have, considering that I don't know if you would have John Dorsey if you didn't stockpile the picks. I don't know if you would have taken Baker Mayfield. I don't know if you would have taken any other quarterback, and then you would have another 3 or 4 win disaster the way you've had. Do you think that the quote-unquote tank was worth it?
You know, I've never really believed it was a tank, so I can't answer that question the way maybe you're asking it. I believe that Sashi Brown tried to make the team better in his first season. If he was trying to tank that year, you don't keep Joe Thomas, you don't keep Joe Hayden, you don't go out and try to sign an RG3 when you already have a Josh McCown and things like that. So I don't believe that he was trying to tank in his first season at the helm. I think he was trying to make the team better to the point where maybe they would win, you know, 5 or 6 games that year, and then the next year that they would win, you know, a few more after that. I don't think it was until they realized that they were really bad in his first year there that he decided to then start selling off some players. So and the strategy changed at that point. So I don't believe that there was a tank. I don't believe there ever needed to be a tank. I mean, you could have had guys like Carson Wentz and Michael Thomas in his first year. So, you know, you don't really tank in the NFL. Nobody does that. I mean, the Patriots never had to tank to get good. They just have sustained success. So, no, I really don't believe it.
So you believe it's a false narrative then, that what the Browns did over the last 2 years before John Dorsey got here?
I kind of do, yeah. And, yes, I don't believe that there was a concerted effort to tank, at least not in the first year. I do think that the strategy changed a little bit after Sashi's first year in charge, but I don't think that first year that's what they were trying to do. I don't think that was the plan. I think that he thought that, you know, that acquiring assets and acquiring draft picks was the strategy, but I don't think tanking was the initial strategy at all.
I'll tell you, that is very interesting, because I believe Sashi is going to be speaking at the Sloan Convention,
yeah.
And that'll be his first public appearance. It's an analytics conference. I'd be very curious, because he pretty much has not broken his silence, and he's had ample opportunity to do so, so I think he's probably been pretty professional since he was discarded. But I'm telling you, Mary Kay, if that's the case, if he was not really tanking, and you're accurate on this one, I don't know that he can ever get a job in the NFL again. As at that role.
I think they've used him as some sort of a scapegoat, but they signed off on it. Here we are having a conversation just around Mary Kay, not actually interviewing you, Mary Kay. Sorry, go ahead.
I think there was some revisionist history that has gone on in looking at it in retrospect. I think that it was easier to call it a tank than just to say, you know, we as an organization completely screwed up this experiment of stocking our front office with analytics people, which that part of it wasn't wrong, but leaving out the talent evaluator piece, and it was such a colossal failure that now to look back on it and say that it was more of a 76ers type tank situation, it just sounds like a lot better to call it that.
All right, Mary Kay, join us on the hotline. So anybody that watched the Super Bowl could see again how important defense was, even though earlier in the season teams were scoring 50 points in prime time, but it was defense that actually won the game for the New England Patriots. And yet Ken and I have not devoted all that much time to new defensive coordinator of the Browns, Steve Wilks. I know you've gotten a chance to talk to him. You've seen him do the press conferences. What do you make of the type of defense he's going to be running? And you're not allowed to use the term aggressive, because that's what every coordinator says.
I really liked Steve Wilks yesterday, and just sitting there listening to him made me think that if this team is good, he's going to have another opportunity to be a head coach someday. He was very, very impressive. I like the fact that he runs a very solid defense, and he cares about stopping the run. That was one of the things that stood out to me, was the fact that he said nothing is more demoralizing than having a team just run the ball all over you. And I think Browns fans would have to love that. You know, who wants to see that anymore? So I think that they will make a concerted effort to stop the run, set the edge, and those sorts of things. He will attack. He will be an attack-minded defensive coordinator, but not just for the sake of it. It will be with a purpose. It will be pointed. And I think he'll have a really good staff. I think the players are going to absolutely love him. I talked to Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, who worked with him in Carolina. I talked to those guys at the Senior Bowl, and they absolutely raved about Steve Wilks, as did some of my personnel friends and other people in Arizona. Just couldn't say enough good things about him. And, you know, maybe the head coaching thing, he'll get another opportunity for that. I think he's actually going to really enjoy being a defensive coordinator again, and I don't think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder to say, you know, I really should still be a head coach.
This is a tough question, but it needs answered, Mary Kay. Is he an upgrade over Greg Williams?
Well, I think so, from the standpoint of that I think it will be a more well-balanced defense. I think that you'll see this defense overall being ranked highly. I mean, Greg Williams left here with a defense that was not ranked very highly in any area, really. Now, in terms of football, you know, DVOA and Football Outsiders and things like that, the rankings were better. But this was a team that gave up a lot of yards. One thing that it did very well, it got takeaways. They were second in the NFL with 31 takeaways. I asked Steve Wilks about that yesterday, and he emphasized, and the record shows it, that he is very, very big, not only on takeaways, but also on defensive players scoring with those takeaways. So I think you will see more of that, too.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the show. Mary Kay, could Baker have won that game for the Rams on Sunday?
Possibly, but you have to remember that you're going against a defensive genius who had spent weeks doing nothing but trying to figure out how to shut down an offense, an offensive-minded coach, a genius coach, and a really good young quarterback. And that would have been the same case with the Browns. Now, maybe it wouldn't have worked. Maybe Baker would have been able to beat it. But, you know, you never really know. And maybe the Browns will have a chance to find out in some kind of a playoff game at some point.
Mary Kay Cabot joined us on the hotline. I know that you got a chance to talk to some of the Browns, Baker Mayfield, Cleveland Sports Awards. I thought it was really cool that John Dorsey was there, and also, you know, new head coach Freddie Kitchens. Are you able to get any kind of a window into how this offseason is going to work? Because I keep comparing and contrasting two teams, the Rams and the Patriots, that were in the Super Bowl, and they went about their offseasons last year in two totally different ways.
Well, I think the thing that's happening right now, and that it's very, very important, is, first of all, they're trying to mesh offensive philosophies. You're bringing in James Campen, who is going to be coordinating the run game, and he will have all of his protections and schemes from Green Bay that he's bringing in. Then you've got Todd Monken coming in. He's actually called more plays in more games, 15-8, than Freddie Kitchens. He's bringing in a lot of the college concepts, the air raid, RPOs, things like that. When I asked Freddie Kitchens about the air raid at the Senior Bowl, he said, heck, I don't even really know what the air raid is. So he's going to be learning a lot about what Todd Monken brings to the table. These guys are putting their heads together right now and trying to come up with an offensive game plan that has their mark on it. It's going to be new and different. I mean, there will be some terminology that they used, obviously, last year, most of it, but it will have new wrinkles. It will have a new vibe to it. So I think that's the most important thing right now.
Man, imagine if Hugh Jackson had said, I don't even really know what the air raid is, what fans would say about him.
Well, and, you know, I think he was just trying to make the point that, you know, everyone calls something different. And just because it has a label or a tag on it, it doesn't mean you haven't seen it before in your playbook. But, you know, it's just something that, you know, they're going to have to hammer out. And the impression that I got from Todd Monken yesterday was that he's ready for anything, including Freddie saying at some point, hey, if you want to call the plays, go ahead and call the plays. So he's open to that, and I think in some respects maybe hoping for that at some point in the near future.
Mary Kay, before we let you go, can you give us a name of somebody they'll be very interested in free agency?
You know, I don't know about free agency as much as I think they will look for players in trades that need a change of scenery. I don't think they're going to be
in trades.
Well, because I
give me
think
a name.
That,
give me a name. Come on.
All right. Well, let me go back to Odell Beckham Jr. Why not try for him again?
Have you heard something?
No, I asked Baker about it the other night. He had dinner with Odell and Von.
Yes, he did.
And Von Miller, and you know, he was kidding around and saying, you know, no, we didn't talk business, but if they end up here, that would be great. I asked Jarvis about it. Jarvis is trying to attract, you know, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr. I don't know if they'll go any after anybody quite like that, but I do think that they should. I still think that I wouldn't mind if they traded for an Odell or somebody of that ilk, a big name wide receiver that can come in here and really help take Baker Mayfield to the next level.
All right, Mary Kay, I'm glad you gave me a name when I asked. You know we love you for that reason. All the very best to you. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good.
The great Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Are we willing to open up the Odell book again?
Well, why not? We've done it every other week so far this offseason.
You might as well. 216-578-0092. Also coming up, Patrick Mahomes was forbidden from playing basketball yesterday. Got me thinking about our own basketball superstar.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.